because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm feeling it a little bit today. Can you see it in my eyes? Getting a little bit of that, what do they call that? You get the high and then you get the low. All that lack of sleep and all that preparation is catching up. In fact, Michelle was still in bed when I came down. Like, that never happens, man. So, trying to get our feet back under as I was griping and moaning to somebody spent 3 hours on the lawnmower yesterday, trying to get up, caught up with some of the yard work. But hey, we're back here, back in the saddle again on the 19th, I believe it is, isn't it? The 19th of June, 2018. Lord's not making another one. Let us run with patience today. The race set before us with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Chad Estes probably feels worse than me. I just got a text message that he just got home to Texas at 5 a.m. Just did, 2 hours ago. He left here on Sunday afternoon. Truck broke down. He spent the night in someplace down in Kentucky, 120 miles from here. Hey, Chad, I won't tell him what happened to your truck. I'll keep that in confidence. But he got it fixed and he got home, and praise God for them coming. I'm sure that we got, I'm sure we got people still rolling to get back home. And then get back home and try to catch up with everything. I was going through my list this morning. I forgot all about Judd McCammon and Bob Evans. They were there, two guys from Lisbon, Ohio. I didn't have them on my list up here. So Judd and Bob, I didn't mention you guys' names yesterday. Appreciate you guys all coming. And even the afterglow of it, I'm going on Facebook and reading comments and commentaries. You know, folks, people who have never done it don't get it. They don't get it. And I posted a meme on my face page that I thought was pretty appropriate. I said this: we had a great weekend, and I'm getting a lot of advice from people who've never done it on how to do it. And see, it's easy to sit back and watch what went on at that mosque and at Planned Parenthood and say, well, that's not very Christian, or you shouldn't be yelling at them, or pick whatever argument you want. And these are people who've never done it. And never done it. That'd be like telling Jack Lambert or Dick Butkus, you shouldn't be snorting when you tackle. We've never done it. What are you talking about? And so when you engage with the enemy like that, and things happen guttural, things come up in the very depth of your being, you got to let those things out. So praise the Lord, George Lewis, a coach, George Lewis, he teed the ball up yesterday, and I want to kind of come back there on it. George Lewis said this: committed, that wasn't the right word, radical Christians will defeat radical secularists, God-haters, atheists. But radical God-haters will defeat lukewarm Christians. And if truth be told, for the most part, the body of Christ is lukewarm. We're lukewarm. We really are. Got some great stuff to show you today. I had the opportunity. I think Doug and Joe Hagman for allowing me to be on last night for a half hour. I'm going to show you a couple videos here this morning. Tom Dunn's an independent filmmaker, and Tom came down both days, drove down from the Mansfield, Ohio area, about an hour, 15 minutes, to be with us on the street. Then he created three really quick videos that we showed on the Hagman Report last night. So we're going to dive into those a little bit. But I get to something here. Before we go any farther, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians. Can we jump into the Word here today? Can we jump into it? 2 Thessalonians. I know we can. But let's jump in here a second. And then I see Sandy's in here today. Sandy, I want you to figure out how to unmute your mic, because I want to talk to you here in a minute. We'll get you up there because you work with children. I want to talk about children today. We're in 2 Thessalonians. Have I said that? I thought, you know, you ever get up in the morning, believe something? You did, and you didn't do it. Second Thessalonians, Jared, let's begin with verse 1. Yeah. Let's begin at the beginning. Here we go. I just think this is a good jumping off point here this morning. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Jared, can you make it a little smaller? We are bound to thank God. I'll just get rid of this here. I can do it on my end. See, folks, I have something that pops up on my screen that maybe you don't have. Blocks. Anyway, that's good, Jared. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. I mean, it's necessary. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Hey, Larry, remember, he's talking to Christians. Paul is talking to Thessalonian Christians. He's not talking to the world, okay? So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Hey, guys, is the church today enduring persecutions and tribulations? Not so much, is it? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Make this connection. The persecutions and tribulations are the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. You understand what we saw down in judgment isn't coming because of the homosexuality. Homosexuality is the judgment. The growth of homosexuality is the judgment. It would be like when you get the flu and the doctor gives you some medicine and you don't take the medicine and the flu gets worse and worse and worse. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor asks you a question. Did you take the medicine? You say, well, no, my wife told me I probably should. Well, no wonder it got worse. Well, that's the same thing here. See, this bug, this homosexual bug has invaded into society. And the antidote to that was the church. The church ain't taking the medicine. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Thank you, Lord. He's going to get even. First, roll up a little bit, Jared. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he's going to take that vengeance for us. And that Jesus is coming back, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, I'm going to read that again, folks. Taking vengeance on them that know not God. Hey, Penny Miller, I thought Jesus loved everybody. Huh? What's going on here? Jesus throwing a temper tantrum? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. Still talking about these people, okay? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Who are these people that are troubling us? He's going to do a number on them. He's going to show them the love of God. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, be glorified where? In his saints. And to be admired in all of them that believe. Not him admired in all people, but in all of them of the belief, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God. I'm sorry, got distracted. You know what he did, Jared? I put you in the wrong verse. Let's go to 2. Let's keep going. That was good. That tied in here. But now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering them together, that you should be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as was from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Don't ever forget that they expected in the first century the soon coming of Jesus. The imminent return of the Lord in the first century. They thought he was coming back. That next week, The rapture was coming that next week, they thought. Let no man deceive you. Watch this now. Here's where we are, I think. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That day shall not come except there be churches marching in the homosexual parade. That day shall not come until there shall be Christians standing out in the front of the mosque, defending the mosque. That day shall not come till you have police officers standing out in front, defending a homosexual bathhouse where all types of perversion is going on the inside. That day shall not come except there's a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who boasteth and exalteth himself. See, I believe it's a spirit. That's just me. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. The devil is sitting in the pulpit in many of our churches. Now, maybe he doesn't have on a red suit like I got, or maybe he doesn't have a tail and horns. The devil's in control. I just shared off air before we came on the air. Saw in the newspaper that the homosexual pride, the homosexual shame parade, was larger than the 4th of July celebration in Columbus called Red, White, and Boom, which is unbelievably huge. Everybody goes to free fireworks, Red, White, and Boom in Columbus, Ohio. And the newspaper said yesterday that the homo parade is bigger than Red, White, and Boom. Now, I want you to ponder that a second. I want you to think that there are more people who will come out to celebrate homosexuality than will come out and watch the fireworks 4th of July. There's a great falling away first. Remember ye, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you this was going to happen, boys. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Somebody texted to me yesterday that I'm getting tired of it. I'm just getting tired of it. I came home from that homosexual parade, and I thought, Lord, why do we even bother to do that? Why do we even bother to do that? And then I got a text from a buddy, John Freshwater. John Freshwater says, Coach, if the church stops showing up, judgment's just around the corner. When the church throws in the towel, get out of the way. And you know, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. What's that mystery of iniquity? What is that mystery of iniquity? It's already working. So back in the first century. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. As long as the church is showing up, as long as church is trying to be a standard, there's a resistance to it. And then shall the wicked be revealed. The wicked. Not Jesus does not love those wicked people. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. His love's available to him. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lives will be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and he shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. These are the people that they tell us we love. That when those people stand out there marching in the parade, the churches, they say Jesus loves these people. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Watch this, that they might be saved. Now watch this. Make the connection. They deceived not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause, what cause? And for this cause, what cause? They receive not the love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth. The church does not love the truth. The church loves their humanistic version of the truth. They don't love the truth. And for this cause, God's going to send them a strong delusion that they're going to stand out in front of mosques in support of the mosques, that they're going to march in a sodomite parade in support of sodomy. Are you following me? That they're going to say that that anal sex between a man and a man is normal. Why? Because God himself has sent a strong delusion. You see, it says that there in verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send strong delusion. We're seeing the judgment of God all around, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Fellas, this is the first century. Think what they must be thinking now. So what do we see? Strong delusion. You're believing a lie, and God sent it. Because why? We've rejected the truth. Somebody come in and knock on the door a minute. I'll get ready.
Coach,
yep.
I was just curious, after that filth of a parade.
You saw it, Serge. You saw it, right? And nobody who wasn't there and didn't see it cannot tell you what you saw.
Right. I was just curious, when we got back to the camp, the skies opened up and it poured and it rained and the wind. How much damage happened over there? Because they were having a big party in the streets after the parade.
Yeah.
I was curious if you heard if there was a lot of damage to all their setups.
I did not hear, bro. Yeah, the bad thing about the bad thing is, sir, hey, turn it off if you don't like what I'm going to say. If you're a snowflake, turn it off. Here's what I'm afraid of, Serge. The rain ran them all inside. And then they got a lot of damaged anuses as a result of it. That would be my greater fear.
Yeah.
Somebody else, come on in here. We think it's okay. We don't even recognize it as wicked. Hey, because why? Because God himself has sent us a strong delusion. They believe a lie. Yeah, Jerry.
Coach, these are the people teaching our children, like you said earlier. Yeah. These are the people.
It's the parents, too. Feeding them right into the mouth of the beast. Go ahead.
I heard the other day, my dad had an interview with somebody, talked to somebody. Anyway, they said, you know, half of the people who work in this fundraising for a hospital are homos. Half of the people who work for fundraising for a hospital are homos. You know,
they've infiltrated, right, Jared? They have infiltrated. We have left our gates, and they have taken them over.
Now,
you understand? Oh, my goodness. Now, Sandy's there. I don't know if you can come in here or not, Sandy. I kind of watched you this weekend. You have a ministry to children. You have a ministry to children, don't you, Sandy?
I do, yes.
How do you compare that, Sandy, with what you saw going on down there? The killing of babies, destruction of children, the homosexual pride parade, and the indoctrination of children, the churches agreeing with the indoctrination of children. How does that set with you, Sandy, in regards to, you know, what you're trying to do? You're trying to teach children to be godly. What's your take, Sandy?
It was heartbreaking. I mean, I'll tell you, just being at the parade, and there was a little boy that I saw. He was in the very front, and he was holding a flag, and he was dressed in hose and heels and very provocatively in a dress and makeup. And my heart just cried out for him. I mean, he looked so miserable, scared. It completely different from whenever I'm teaching kids and we're, you know, showing them the joy of the Lord and talking to them about, you know, true scripture, and they really get to be in that innocence and how God created them. It's a completely, completely different life. And it just really weighed heavily on my heart. The same at the abortion clinic. I mean, I've been at the mill before. But the stench was big there. It was awful. And it just, you know, I know I shared this with you afterwards because I was in tears, because I was grateful to God, that glory to him, that we were able to save at least one baby. And we were hoping that there were three total. But I felt God's pain in all of that, like just as we read with Cain and Abel, where God felt Abel's blood cry out from the land. And I felt God's pain in all of those babies and their blood crying out from the land. And that's what I was seeing, Coach, was just all the hurt that we're causing God.
We must hate our children. Matthew 18, Jared, pull that up there. We must hate our children. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, you know what? I have to say that too, that I knew what happens at these parades. I know what they do with the children and all that stuff. But to actually be there, this was my first parade, you know, since I've been free. The last time I was at a parade, I was part of the parade. But to actually watching them have, like, there were a bunch of little kids out there. They had, like, bikini tops on and shorts, and they were wrapping themselves in these pride flags. And people putting the pride flags around, like, all around their baby strollers, like they were some type of, you know, like, barrier or shield, and they didn't even have a clue what they were opening their children up to.
So, David, let's compare this, folks. Let's compare your local little church's Bible school, right? Well, five evenings, maybe, get all geared up for educating those kids. Five evenings. And look at what's going on in the public schools. I got two things. That Matthew 18, let's go there real quickly. Because this, again, folks, this is directed to us.
Hey, David, while we're headed for Matthew 18, yeah. I think most of the parents who had children there did have a clue what they were exposing their kids to.
That, sadly, I think you're right, Larry. I think you're right.
It's just that they have been convinced, and many of them being convinced by the people standing behind their pulpits, that what they were exposing them to was the preferred thing to expose them to.
They absolutely do.
Good point. Yeah. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who's the greatest of them? And Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, become as a little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, same as the greatest of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, he receives me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck, that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. There's the love of Jesus. And woe unto the world because of the offenses. For it must needs be that offenses are going to come. I'm telling you, dudes, woe to that man by whom the offense. Now, we have to ask ourselves this. What role are we supposed to play? Are we supposed to eat, and retreat at church? Or are we to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? You say, well, Coach, I don't want to go to a homosexual pride parade. I know you don't. Are you fighting it at all right where you live? How about going to a homosexual pride parade being organized in your local school? Say, well, Coach, they're not organized at my local school. Oh, yeah, they are. They're doing it in the classes. They're just not having parades. But they're bringing these people into your schools. And they're indoctrinating. You say, Coach, you're crazy. They're not doing it. Well, hey, Jared, go to, where is it, Jed? Sex ed in West Virginia. West Virginia! They don't even have teeth in West Virginia.
Hey, Coach.
Got homos, yes.
Can I take just a short minute on a teachable moment from what you just read out of Scripture?
Sure.
Jesus said, unless you become like. It didn't say unless you become little children, because we know from other Scripture that Jesus wants us to go on and be mature in our, to grow up and to become, you know, become more mature. But right here in verse 4, what you read is one of the things about little children that we need to include in our growing up. And that is, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child. Now, when you study that word humility there, it doesn't mean get on your knees and grovel and call yourself a worm. It means recognize the difference between you and God. A little child has natural humility because they are very small in stature. Everybody they see around them is bigger than they are, and they are humbled. They recognize that difference. We lost the ability to recognize how much greater God is.
And we're teachable. That's part of it. That's what it means to humble yourself as a little child, to become teachable. Become teachable. Hey, there's a gay pride parade going on in West Virginia. Hold that up there, Jared. Oh, yeah, there's a pride parade going on. Yeah, right there it is. Right there. In, oh, it says Virginia. I thought it was West Virginia. They got some teeth in Virginia. Gender identity curriculum angers the parents in Virginia. Yeah. Scroll down here a little bit, Jared. They're having a gay pride parade right in the school. They're doing it right in the school. The school board voted 10-2 that the elementary program emphasizes the importance of families, distinction between good and bad touch, sources of help, and the importance of friendships. Human sexuality is first introduced in gay grade 4. Middle school students will build on information learned in late elementary physiology, as well as the physical, psychological, social changes that occur during adolescence. In 9th and 10th grade, graders will be provided definitions of heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transgender, and that person deserves to be treated with respect regardless of their sexual orientation. Indoctrination. No Christianity. No creationism. No made in the image of God. No. We've yielded all of that, see? We've yielded all of that. And the Lord himself has sent a strong delusion that parents would believe that's education. That's the delusion. They think that's education. The school board votes 10-2 to do it. Now I got to ask you this. How did the homosexual lobby get so much power? How can they do this? I'm not mad. It just seems like. Somebody help me. How can they do this? How can a small group of people control the entire population of this community? Mandated from on high. You got to do this and you got to do that. Well, why do we have to do it? Well, the school board said we have to. So? School board says we have to teach them about butt sex. So? Did you just read Matthew 18? What is wrong with us? Somebody come in here. I feel like I'm alone today.
Decades ago, the homosexual community decided to come into unity and work towards their goal to indoctrinate our society. And they stuck to it. They stuck with each other. They supported each other. They were unified.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Jared, go to the next one. Church must rent to homos. Yeah. They're running everything. Church is sued for refusing to host an LGBTQ event. They come around, they want to rent this Catholic church. The homos want to rent the Catholic church, and the Catholic church says no, and they get sued. Now, are they going to win? You think the church is going to win? Huh? No,
because some of the homos are sitting on the benches or sitting in legislative offices that we have put in there, and they're the wickedness in high places.
You mean those? When I look, Dale, you mean those positions we're supposed to be occupying?
Yeah, brother. But we have this little mamby pamby feeling that we're supposed to be separation of church and state. But yet here they are. They are out there recruiting people, signing them up on voter registration, you know, and they're all taking it. When I looked at them children or you know, I was the day before because I left before that parade, but I've been down there. I've seen it. Them little children. Some of the stuff that goes through my mind is one of the things that says in the Old Testament, it says they offered up their children unto Molech. It wasn't Molech taking the children away from them. No, these parents literally... They offered up their children. And then I look at the little children, like what Sandy was saying, the scaredness. No wonder why they grow up with animosity and hatred towards church. Man. Because they look and they say, why didn't you come get me out of this? Something deep inside of them, brother. Shame on the church.
Amen. And
hey, coach.
The left, yes. The left has changed our entire morality system in America. The left has. Christianity has lost its savior. Go ahead, George.
Coach Larry probably knows where this is, but the verse that says, "And every man did what was right in his own eyes." I think that capitalizes our culture today. People are basically doing what they think is right, and in turn, it's wrong.
Well, that's what one of the things that I didn't get a chance to emphasize yesterday. Pete LaBarbera, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, pointed out to me at lunch after the parade. He said, "Listen, our real enemy is the gay affirming church. That's our real enemy. The gay affirming church, the homo accepting church." Because here's what happens, as we saw it. When we went to the mosque, let's use that illustration when we went to the mosque. We go to the mosque and we stand there and we're holding signs and Dale's playing music and we're calling people to repentance. And across the road from us is a group of people who probably consider themselves spiritual or Christian or whatever. They had collars on, you know, what do they call it? Roman collar. They're people standing there. And so here's what happens. The gay affirming church says, "Why, we're Christians too, but we don't hate like those guys. We're the real Christians." And so the only ground we have to stand on is this. And they've attacked this. And other churches don't believe this. And they take this and say, "Who are you to judge?" And so because the church is not unified, the divide and conquer strategy has worked, because depending on which church you go to, you will find some who are for homosex and some who are against homosex. And as a result, the church is not standing on the solid ground of truth universally. It's humanism. It's crept in. Yes.
Coach, what a revelation. I did not see this, but connect. It's one of them connect the dots. That scripture mm-hmm. that George was asking about is in the book of Judges. Now, when you look at the book of Judges, why was it called the book of Judges? And who was ruling in the day of Judges? Judges were because there was no king. There was no God. You're getting it right. No authority. Who's ruling in our day right now in America?
The
court
judges.
System. Judges, brother. Why? Because we have no godly men higher positions.
Well, we've kicked out the king. We've kicked out the king. And so the judges are ruling. Everyone did what was right in his own eye because there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, Callie, I gotta hurry here. Jared, go to something. Here's what. Go to though. It says pretended legislation. Pretended legislation. I don't know if you guys know this. It's in the U.S. Constitution. This is Michael Perutka. Pretended legislation. Pretended legislation. Michael says, "The founders used this term to describe the lawlessness of many parliamentary enactments which violated the British Constitution, the English common law, and most significantly, God's law. Today we use the term pretended legislation within the same context. Laws passed by legislatures in violation of our founding documents or not in accordance with God's law are deemed pretended legislation." How about this? Fake news. Fake legislation. The founders used this term in the Declaration of Independence. Here's a direct quote from the Declaration of Independence, talking about the tyrant, the king. "He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and an unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to the acts of pretended legislation." See, there's no such thing as gay marriage. And folks, homosex, sodomy is not legal. You don't have to bake a cake for somebody. You don't have to send your kid. These are all pretended legislations when they violate the laws of nature and of nature's God. The founders asserted that the British Parliament did not have any authority to legislate for the American colonists because all legitimate political power derives from the consent of the governed in America. The founders understood the laws of nature and of nature's God, that individual rights are endowed by the Creator and not from the government. Therefore, any law which violates God's law or the U.S. Constitution and state constitutions are illegitimate. That's pretended legislation. So do you see what they've done to us? You see? So now a school board votes 10-2 to teach homosexuality to public school children. Why? Pretended legislation. What's that pretended legislation? Separation between the church and state. That's pretended legislation. That's not true. It's not true. We follow it. Can't pray in school. Why not? Well, that's pretended legislation. Well, you can't read the Bible in school. Well, why not? Well, the court said this. Oh, well, that's pretended legislation. That's meaningless. That doesn't mean anything. Oh, men can marry men now. Why can they do that? Well, the court said, that's pretended legislation. That's not really law. And that's why we follow pretended legislation. Do you get it? Do you see what's going on? Am I alone? No, I'm not alone. All right. Oh, my goodness.
No, Coach, it's just shocking what's going on and right in front of our eyes, and we don't even see it. There's so much going on.
It's crazy. Okay, let me lighten the load here a little bit for you. Jared, I said to go to my Facebook page. Why did I say that? Go to my Facebook. Look at this. There was my meme. Right there, Jared. Great street ministry last weekend. Much advice on how to do it from those who have never done it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Scroll down, Jared. Here's something for you to chew on, folks. Oh, that's a good video from Peter the Russian. I'll go up a little bit. Before we get to Jeremiah, I want to show that. Keep going up, Jared. I'm sorry. Sorry to misguide you. There you go. Chew on that, boys. Jared, can you make that picture bigger? Huh? Look at that picture, boys and girls. Washing aborted babies. Look at that.
When I saw that, it made me sick to my stomach.
Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Goes on. Going on today. Right now, today. Church doesn't care. Why? Because they said it's illegal. They said it's legal. No. Pretended legislation. It's not legal.
Hey, Coach, you remember George Tiller used to bring the local ministers down there after he aborted those babies to baptize those babies and wrap them in little cloths and take pictures of them with their parents and then throw them in the incinerator.
That's right, brother. It's so wicked. But all being done with the approval of the local church. Every bit of it. Jared, scroll down and I got a video real quick, a short little video. Jeremiah Thomas. I called it a baby smorgasbord. Jeremiah Thomas was contacted by the Last Wish Foundation. I think we told you that. And his last wish was he'd like to have an audience with the governor of Texas, Abbott. And it happened yesterday. And this is a 3-minute phone call. Jeremiah, his mother said, was very nauseous, had a barf bag beside him when the phone call was made. And this is 3 minutes and 10 seconds of this young man who appears to be on his deathbed appealing to the governor. Go ahead and play it.
Switch the conversation to the real reason why I wanted to talk to you. Well, first off, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me. I know, I don't know, but I can only imagine as a governor how busy it is, but and how often you get talked to by citizens. But back when I was in MD Anderson, I was asked by Make-A-Wish to make my wish, and they talked about a legacy wish, which the kids could leave behind after they passed, and that really intrigued me. And before I was diagnosed and got sick, I used to go out and minister at my local abortion clinic, and I used to go with my siblings and my mom, and my mom used to video us, and I would preach, and my sister would worship on a two-play guitar, and my other sister would she would stop the women coming into the abortion clinics and just talk to them and give them counsel, and we just did a bunch of street ministry. Also, my brother was there. He would hold signs, and he would also speak to the women coming in there, and it was we just every Wednesday was kind of our thing. Because that was just the hours for the abortion clinic to be open, and where they did most of the killing. And just the thought of 20 babies being murdered, you know, under our noses was you know, enough to make us sick and angry. So I switched up my family out there. But so for my wish, I wanted to talk with you and discuss a bill of abolition. A recent poll showed that 68% of Texans want abortion abolished. So, sir, you would be representing the demand of Texans if you pass this bill. In conclusion, we just want you to treat abortion like an act of murder and should be punished by law. And that's just for my wish. I just wanted to say it to you. And I know that you're a Christian and you're pro-life. And I know it must be difficult standing against a whole federal beast that kind of forces abortion upon us, but I think that we could rally with Texas and we could end abortion here and now, because that would, at least for me, just make my wish complete before I pass.
Now, he's going to go on speakerphone here. The governor is speaking to him. The governor is speaking to him right now. He's going to go on speakerphone here in a minute. Go ahead.
Return from. And what happens, one of the multitude of things that happens at a convention is that a party creates a platform of policy positions, and your wish is on the Republican Party platform position, and that's what we're going to be pursuing this next legislative session, and that is to outlaw abortion altogether in the state of Texas.
Yes.
And so your wish is granted.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
So brother, that just plowed my heart, brother. That what God is doing in Jeremiah's travail, this gospel is being spread forth like a wildfire through what he's struggling through.
What if they came up with Jeremiah's law?
Well, you do know that if Dan Fisher wins in Oklahoma, he has sworn an oath when he does the abolishment bill, it's going to be called the Jeremiah law.
Well, guys, I forgot to say this. Dan Fisher went down there and met with Jeremiah as well. Dan Fisher did, the man, the Christian running for governor there in Oklahoma, George is working with. My goodness.
Dave?
Yeah?
Driving down the freeway to work, and tears are in my eyes. It just, you know, I know that God is in complete control, and I do not doubt, boy, when you think what this family is going through and what this young man is going through, and it seems to be that his time is coming where he'll meet his creator. I know we want to hold on to him, but boy, you know, and I see all these cars just driving crazily into work and getting off on 70. Everybody's flying to work, and you can't help but think, for what purpose?
What if millions are saved through Jeremiah's life? Is that amazing? What if millions are saved through his life?
Well, just through that video right now, it's had over 200,000 hits, brother. Just through that one, that's not including Dan Fisher's, which I think it's up around 50 or 60,000. And I don't know if you're aware that when my son was up there, you know, I was with him this weekend. Carrie Job, not only, you know, her dad went to the same school he played football. How crazy is that? Carrie Job's dad. And he called up his daughter, and she literally gave him stopped the concert, went live, and dedicated the song to Jeremiah, brother. But Jeremiah was wearing an abolitionist T-shirt, and she asked him, what does that T-shirt mean? And Rusty jumped right on it. Brother, the message went right to her heart about abolitionists.
Man. I got a bunch of things I want to say, but I'm not going, just not going to right now. And greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And these little babies are being butchered. We don't care. And Jeremiah, on his deathbed, proves himself to be 100 times the man any of us in his QR. And why is it that we are not as committed to our king as the God haters are to theirs? A great question we have to ask yourself. I want to show the three videos here, Jared. I want to show the videos that Tom Dunn, again, Tom's a professional. Hey, when Tom left us on Saturday, he was going to go make the video. He said, "Coach, I don't know if I can do it. I got so much video here." To think that he was able to take all of this thing that we did this weekend and encapsulate it into 3 2-minute videos at each venue, it's powerful. So for those of you who were there, this will encourage you. For those of you who weren't there, hope this will encourage you. We're going to do it again. So this first one is us at the mosque. Go ahead, Jared. See, folks, there's the great falling away. There it is. We just read about it in Thessalonians. There it is. We're looking at it, see. They have a strong delusion. These women are standing out defending the mosque, defending Islam. These women that Islam would love to put into bondage. It's a great delusion. It's judgment upon the Lord. It's judgment sent from God upon a lawless people who've ignored him. Go ahead, Jared. Read that. Can you pull that back a little bit, Jared? Only Tom Dunn could zoom in on that. Get a taste of religion. Lick a witch.
We had the most amazing thing happen when we showed him. Our intention was to come here today and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. People talk about the fact that the Muslims are lost, yada, yada, yada. We came not to start a fight. We came to declare that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Muhammad is not, that Buddha is not, that Allah is not.
Envies, murders, drunkenness, rattlings.
Raise your hands.
Like of the which I tell you, as I've also told you in time past, that such do these things will never inherit the kingdom of God.
Raise your hand, folks. That's you.
That was why we came. But the most amazing thing has happened. We find ourselves ministering not to Muslims. There aren't Muslims here. There are humanists and secularists and people who call themselves Christian who aren't Christian. So our whole strategy has changed when we got here, Tom, because we thought we were going to bring the gospel to the Muslims. And if you look at the crowd, they're not here. So this has become something that we weren't planning on. Number one, they know just enough scripture to be dangerous. They don't know the Bible. They can quote judge not. They can say love trumps hate. They can say all that stuff, but they have no depth of understanding of the gospel. We do. I've had several come up to me and say, "You guys are friendlier than we thought you were going to be." I don't know what they expected. But we believe it's our obligation to take the truth of the gospel to the whole world. We thought it was going to be Muslims, but it's become secularists. Same gospel, same message. The technique changes a little bit.
We shall bow every tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. That's pretty well done. And Tom put that together. We showed it on Hagman last night, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to see those videos. The next one is when we go to the abortion mill. And again, this was put together by Tom, did a wonderful job. This one's a little bit longer. It's 3 minutes and 44 seconds. So let's play it for time's sake here, Jared.
And again, give each other grace. You may say, Rob may say something, and you might think, oh, man, that's harsh. Let him say it. Because he's trying. This is a rescue mission. You got 30 seconds to save a life.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Officer, we believe there's a murder, a baby being killed inside that building.
Really?
Yes.
We'd like to report a murder.
We'd like to report a murder.
We got some problems.
A murder inside there. We're not blocking anybody. Don't believe her. Don't believe her.
Yeah, they all made it in.
All they do is lie. All they do is lie.
They serve the father of lies.
Morning, sir.
Here's the amazing thing. Folks, I've been doing this a long time. 18 years I've been coming out, trying to get people boots on the ground. Doug, you know that, right? America's coach trying to get boots on the ground. We've got, I don't know if you can hear what's going on behind us. We have people who've come out for the first time. They're pro-life. They've heard about abortion. They vote pro-life. But it's like making sausage. They say if you ever watch sausage being made, you'll never eat it. Well, they're watching sausage being made. They're seeing these women actually get out of these cars and go in there and murder their babies. And something has happened inside their hearts. We tried to train them, say, listen, let one person speak at a time. Let's not be too loud. But it's like a heart cry. And the men and the women are crying out of the depth of their being to rescue those babies. Tom, it's been one of the most unbelievable things I've ever been part of, to see the Spirit of Almighty God come alive in these people who are witnessing abortion firsthand for the first time.
Mommy! We have a heartbeat! We know you don't want to do this! Please don't touch it! Please!
Stand up for that baby!
You're already a mother! Baby, take them all, mother! Just grab her hands and take her home!
So we just had an amazing thing happen. This doesn't happen all the time. By the way, we've had two, maybe three, what we call turnaways here this morning. A turnaway, somebody comes to get an abortion, and they don't. And they don't get the abortion because we're here. At least two. But we had one young man who actually took his wife, girlfriend, into the abortion clinic. And we appealed with them all the way in there. And they were in there about 10 minutes, and they came back out. A clear rescue of a baby. And I spoke to Cedric. He was the dad. He has a good heart. He's not a Christian. He's got a good heart. He has a picture of his three children that he already has. He said, listen, this isn't my girl, but I fooled around and I got her pregnant. He said, my real girl, she's giving me trouble in this one day. I said, man, I'm just stuck in the middle. I said, Cedric, you said you love your family. This little baby's your family too. It's just got a different mommy. And he knows. And he's walked away. We gave him our phone number. We offered financial help, housing, anything we can do, adoption. Say, Cedric, do not kill that baby. We will do whatever we can to lighten the load on you. So, folks, you can't just come out here and tell somebody to rescue the baby. You have to have practical answers to the problems that we had. So we gave him a solution, gave him our phone number and card, and it's up to him to follow through on it. She would not get out and speak to us. We couldn't go where she was because we're not allowed to trespass there. So let's all just pray that Cedric's going to call us and we can help these people walk through this.
We haven't heard from Cedric. Hope I hear from him. He could be man enough to take care of it himself. He's got three kids. He can man up and do it. It's like Ryan told him. He said, it's time for you to be a hero. Man up. It's your day to be a hero. Challenged him. It was good. And then here's the last one. This is the Gay Pride Outreach. This one's only 2 minutes and 40 seconds. But this, again, was put together by Tom Dunn, was shown on Hagman. This is going to get a lot of views. Go ahead. Things I always think about when I come to this thing. First thing I think of is, what if Christians were as loyal to their God as these people are to theirs? See, their God is really the God of self, right? It's the God of self. And so Jesus said that
pride cometh before destruction. And we know as Christians, we're not supposed to be prideful. So we look at it and we see people who are proud of what they should be ashamed of and ashamed of what they should be proud of. I want you to think about this. If we called a parade for the natural family, should we get this kind of crowd? I don't think so. Well, it's done. We went to the homosexual pride parade. Pride cometh before a fall. I've been to a number of them. We had a great crowd of guys. Probably upwards of 100 people were with us today. We're really, really outnumbered. And you know what really, really grieved me more than any time I've ever been? Folks, this is really, really important to understand. All the debauchery and everything that's going on in the parade. We don't understand that the devil is stealing our children. The crowd was so young. And they have elementary schools, they had all kinds of things marching, and all we have to do is look around and understand that the generation coming after us, you would think clear thinking people watching this parade would think there's something wrong with people behaving like that. But the average person, we are so programmed and so confused that the average person cannot recognize when something's wrong anymore. Hey, they're eating our children. Church has got to wake up.
They're eating our children. They're eating our children. Somebody help me wrap it up here. Come on in.
And we're serving our children to them, brother.
We're serving them right into the mouth of the beast. Mouth of the beast. I've had a conversation. It doesn't matter who it's with. And said, two things we have to do. We have to make abortion not illegal, unthinkable.
Get out of government schools.
Amen. The only way we can make abortion unthinkable is to take the camera off of the woman and put the camera onto the baby. Make the baby the issue in abortion. Not a woman's right to choose. We got to do that. We have to do that. And until we do, that's not going to work. And then second thing, in the homosexual agenda, folks, we have to make it about the behavior. What is, close your eyes right now and ask yourself, picture in your mind what it is two men do in bed. We have to make that the image in people's mind. Not Tommy and Billy with a garden, not Jimmy who directs the choir, not Sarah who plays softball. What it is they do when they engage in that act. That is the only way that we're going to get the revulsion factor going, the conscience and the heart of the average man and woman to say no to this stuff. Listen, I don't hate homosexuals. I hate what they do. I don't hate drug addicts. I hate what they do. I don't hate adulterers. I hate what they do. I don't hate liars. I hate what they do. I don't hate abortionists. I hate what they do. I don't hate homos. I hate what they do. Don't let them box us in. Don't let them box us in. The new day. Come on in. I feel somebody.
Those who recognize that we, as individuals calling ourselves Christians, and there's a whole lot of people in the country call themselves Christians, those who choose to accept the simplicity of what the Word of God says are in a minority, because most of them accept what they've been told the Word of God means from somebody that doesn't know the Word of God, or if they know it, they purposely change it. But the thing is we have to come in to support each other. I mean, you know, everybody doesn't have to center their life around going to an abortion clinic, but every one of us has to give support to those who do, in the aspect that whenever that comes up in conversation, the truth about abortion, the truth about the murder of ripping the arms and legs off of a torso of a little unborn child, the truth has got to come out and be expressed. You can't hide behind the politically correct politeness that the other side has placed upon the subject. We have got to let the bold truth be known every time that we have the opportunity. That's how we can be unified and help each other. That, you know, no matter what the homosexuality, the Muslim problem, all of it, the truth has to come out of our mouths when we have the opportunity. We sit there and keep our mouths shut and let the status quo, mamby-pamby, politically correct position on things prevail any longer.
Can do it, ma'am. Can do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, one other thing I was going to add was one thing that I did see when we were downtown and before we hit the parade, it was the Friday. There was a man that we spoke to. His name was Sonny. And in speaking to him and his homosexuality, it was clear that he had chains that he just didn't know how to break. He'd been prayed over. He tried. He really had a love for the Lord. But you could just tell there was a lot of pain. So although I know there's a lot of times where, I don't know, it just spoke to me, just that there's a lot of times where we can, certainly I can know I can be judging too, but I just felt sorry for that man. And I just wonder how many others there are. They just don't know how to break away.
You know, man, it's a spiritual war for sure. That's why we've got ourselves equipped. If we don't know what to do, my goodness, those of us who are really engaged, if we don't know what to do, what does it say about the rest of Christianity? Hey, God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.